morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. And today, it's an honor for me to do this show today, and I mean it. My good friend, and I mean that too, his Smitty Pignatelli. I've been a friend of the Pignatelli families probably since I was 25 years old. Smitty is on two projects. And I just want to tell you, you probably read he retired from public life. Yeah, right. But they'll retire. You know when he'll retire from public life? When they put the lid down. But today we're going to be talking about Gold Star Monument and about the Vietnam Touring Wall. So please stay tuned. And I do want to thank you, Smitty, for coming on and all that you've done through the years. You've been really an inspiration for a lot of people, but definitely you've delivered for Berkshire County.
Well, you're too kind, Bill, but you said it just like I wrote it for you. So
I know,
thank you very
thanks.
Much.
Yeah, and checks in the mail. But I have a special affinity for Gold Star families. And what you're doing with this Gold Star Monument and a whole bunch of others is, to me, beyond recognition. It's so desperately needed. They're a whole forgotten group of going back to the revolution, the people who got killed. We honor them, but what about the people we left behind?
That's right. Well, you and I both have a personal affiliation with the veterans, and I think both of us have spent our careers honoring and supporting the veterans any way we could. About 3 years ago, I was down in Fall River, Massachusetts, in my previous job as a state representative, and they had an amazing veterans park in Fall River, and they had a scaled version of the Vietnam Wall.
Yeah,
they have a scaled version of the Marine Corps Memorial, the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima. But the one that really caught my eye was this Gold Star Family Memorial. I had never seen one before in my life.
No, me either.
So I did a little bit of research and come to find out that Gold Star Memorial in Fall River is the only one in all of Massachusetts.
Wow.
So I said, we got to bring something like that back to the Berkshires. So I just quietly visited every single community in Berkshire County. I took names off of plaques and memorials and monuments in every town from Clarksburg to Sheffield. And then I kind of cross-checked, referenced it with state websites, federal websites of deceased soldiers.
Yeah.
And I found about 600 soldiers just from Berkshire County since World War I. As you know, Bill, Gold Stars were established during World War I to recognize those families. And then I got thinking, every town in Berkshire County has done a fabulous job recognizing our fallen soldiers with,
Memorial Day,
with bridges or plaques or monuments, having their names. But we've never done anything for the families. And I think you touched on it earlier, Bill, like my namesake, William Smith, who I'm named after, was my dad's best friend. He is forever 19 years old. You have dear friends, not only from the Berkshires, but when you served in Vietnam, that are forever 19, 20, 22 years old. And now, Bill, you're celebrating your 78th birthday next week. But we've never done anything for the families to recognize that the pain and sorrow that they have gone through for the last 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. So I worked with Hill Engineering out of Dalton. They've been a tremendous partner in this.
Oh, wow.
Savino Empire in Pittsfield. Steve Brewer has been a great advocate for this. And we went out raising money, and we've raised to date about $150,000.
Wow.
We have a budget of $170,000, but we're ready to go. Actually, no pun intended here, I pulled the trigger, and we ordered the memorial last Friday. So
good.
Our plan is to do the site work in the next 6 to 7 weeks and break for the summer travel season, and then have a formal unveiling dedication in mid to late September this year. So it's special. The response from people in the Berkshires have been overwhelming. that these families are almost forgotten, and they will never be forgotten any longer with this Gold Star Memorial.
And you know, it does have. I remember I visited a friend's family, and they said the hardest thing. Every day is hard, but the hardest days are the holidays when there's that empty chair.
Yep.
And they still set up a place.
Well, my dad, who passed away 6 years ago, he had two photographs on his dresser my entire life. And it was like a little 5x7 foldable thing. On one side was my mom, and the other side was Smitty. It's the only pictures he had on his dresser my entire life. It's now on my dresser at my house. I wear my father's dog tags every day, of his dog tags of World War II. It's a constant reminder of the service and sacrifices that folks like you, Bill, and my dad and Smitty and so many others went through so we could have a Zoom call on a Monday morning in Berkshire County. Things that we take for granted sometimes, but the stories need to be shared and told because
yes, they do.
I think I've always believed, and you've heard me say this before, Bill, we need to do a better job educating the next generation. You know, we're all only going to be here so many, so much time in our lifetime, but the stories of the sacrifices and the service that guys like you went through in Vietnam need to be shared, need to be told, and need to be understood by the next generation.
And I will thank you. I was a minor player in a big production, but I think it was interesting. Friday night, I was at the Elks Fish Fry. It's not a fry, baked fish at the Elks. And I was talking with another Vietnam veteran, and he said, now we're both, he's 80, I'm going to be 78. We both said we saw things we should have never seen at 19.
Yep.
Because, yes, years passed, yes, but they're still there. They're embedded in that memory. And in my case, I can remember those situations better than I can remember where I parked the car.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I think when I think of it, I have dedicated my life to try to do what all I could for my friends who didn't come home. You know, I don't want. But one of the things that you're doing with this, and they are truly, truly forgotten heroes. You know, the families who, in all good faith, sent their loved one, and they didn't come home.
They didn't come home. Well, you know, Bill, I think this memorial will be, it's going to be in the center of Lenox. It's going to be in a very visible, open space. It's going to be reflective of all the families in Berkshire County. I think it, hopefully people in the future will see this memorial, and I hope they start asking questions. You know, what does it mean? Let's do some research. Let's find out what's going on. Little Berkshire County, you had 600 plus names that paid the ultimate sacrifice. I think it's something that's going to be very special. It's going to be there for generations to come. And it's something I'm very proud of, that we've been able to pull this together so quickly and to get this thing done, because there's a great deal of support there. I always look back at our veterans, Bill, and you know this better than I. World War II, the soldiers that did come home came home to ticker tape parades. The Korean War, the forgotten war, because World War II was the war to end all wars. Well, a few years later, we're in the Korean conflict as well. And then I'm hearing more and more stories of the Vietnam soldiers on how they were treated when they finally came back to American soil. And I spoke to a very dear friend of mine. I've known him probably 48 years, 45 years from the Berkshires. He had three tours in Vietnam. He doesn't like to talk about it, although he's writing a lot of things down for his children when he goes. He said, you know, Smitty, when I came home, all I wanted was to lie in the bed with clean sheets and have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
He says, I've been home for 50 years. I have yet to have a good night's sleep. These are the real stories that need to be shared. And I've known him for 45 years, and I still try to pull that out of him, but he's not ready to do that. But I also, Bill, you know, my dad lived to be 95 years old. World War II veterans lived to be 90 to 105.
Yeah.
The Korean War veterans, you know, 85 to 95. The Vietnam veterans, because of the exposure to Agent Orange, you know, if they get to be 80 or 85, we're very lucky. So that story's, that timeline is shrinking for people to share those stories about what really was going on over there, because you were not treated well when you came home. And I think the media had a lot to do with that, what was being talked about in Southeast Asia. But it's time to recognize and honor those Vietnam veterans as well before it's too late.
Well, and thank you for that. And the wall will be coming, and we'll talk about the wall in a few minutes. But I want you to share with the audience how they can contribute to the Gold Star Memorial. And under full disclosure, the Polish princess and I have already contributed. And if there's a shortfall, I'll see if I can get my money out of my piggy bank.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Bill. We have partnered with the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. They're our 501c3 fiduciary. Liana Toscanini is a dear friend. So this is a tax-deductible donation. They're going to be our fiduciary. So you can make the checks out to NPC Berkshire.
Yeah.
In the memo, we ask people to put the Gold Star Memorial in the memo. And you can mail it to me at P.O. Box 2228 in Lenox. And then we'll get it going. And we have a little bit more fundraising to go, but we're very positive and optimistic that we're going to pull this thing off to the point where we've already made our deposit on the stone. So there's no turning back now. But this is really important. But the tax deductible donation is a real intrigue for folks. And it's reflective of all of Berkshire County. And I think that's what was so important to me personally, to recognize all of Berkshire County.
And again, you know, the veterans groups, I'm sure they're going to all contribute, because this is about veterans in the holistic piece.
Yeah.
You know, when you see I saw this guy the other day, was on one of these, I believe it was Tunnels to Towers, and he was on a military team that went in to help civilians, and a suicide bomber blew him up. I don't know how many operations he's had. I think he's blind in both eyes. And you think to yourself, you know, it's not just him. It's his family, and even all of us who came home. I mean, I will tell you right now, the first 2 years, the Polish princess, she deserves medals. I mean, really, I was in the field. I came back in the morning, got out, this, what they call field first sergeant, was calling my name. Never a good sign. Never, never, never. But this time it was. I got a drop. So he said, get on that helicopter. I said, I got to say goodbye to the guys. He said, I won't tell you exactly what he said, because we'll go to jail. But get on the helicopter. Get out of here. You're saving your life. Get out of here. And that's exactly what he said. Mm. I got on the helicopter. I still regret to this day not saying goodbye to the guys.
Mm. That's why this Gold Star Memorial is going to be special. Right. I mean, the families, you know, you could walk down North Street today and not know that's a Gold Star family that's walking the opposite direction. Right. But they know it. They know who they lost as part of their family. This memorial is to acknowledge the loss, but also to pay tribute to the families. So they will always have a place, just to maybe a solemn location, just to go there and say a prayer for their loved one on their birthday or on a holiday. It's going to be a very special tribute to the families that sometimes are anonymous as time goes on.
I'll tell you a true story. About, I don't know how many years ago, I gave the Memorial Day address down in Wakona Park. And I started with thanking the Gold Star families that were there. And at the end, I got emotional. This older lady came up, and she's older than me. And, you know, I went to school in Methuselah. So, and she hugged me, and she said, "Thank you. I am a Gold Star mother. I lost my son in Korea." And you acknowledge that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, you know what's amazing, Bill, is I got to be friendly with a family in Sheffield who their brother has been missing in action since the Korean War. Now, they're well into their 70s themselves and still holding. They've done the DNA submittals and everything else like that. They're still in hopes that their brother will be identified at some point to come home to be buried in the Berkshires. So I always liked about my father when for 60 plus years, he did not know where Smitty was buried. Wow. And I did a lot of research. I finally found the cemetery. And my father gave a quote to the Berkshire Eagle that said, "The wound was not fresh, but the pain was still there." And that's how I look at the Gold Star families, that the wound is not fresh, but 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, the pain is still there of losing a loved one. And that's what's kind of motivated me to kind of make this thing a possibility. 2025 is going to be a great year for veterans, as far as I'm concerned, with a couple of projects we're working on that you've been very supportive of as well. But like I say, it's not going to make the pain go away, but hopefully it's going to give them an opportunity to say, take a breath and say, my hometown, my county is showing their appreciation of what we've gone through.
And you have one in your own hometown, Coakley.
Yeah.
In Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah, the only one. I mean, it's interesting also, Bill, you know, I think there's 18 from World War II from Lenox, only one from Korea, one from Vietnam. So as time goes on, those numbers shrink. But when you look across the country, it was small towns like we have here in Berkshire County that stepped up, and they weren't shy. It wasn't just the big cities. You know, it was small towns with, what, a couple hundred people at that time who stepped forward, and sadly some of them paid the supreme sacrifice. So this is just a way to say thank you, to acknowledge it, and to show appreciation to the family for the pain that's still there.
And again, it'll be in the center of Lenox, right at the turn there at the...
Yeah, as you face the town hall, it's going to be to the right. It's a nice grassy area right by the other memorial. That's where the Rotary is.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's not going to be, it's not a lot that cars are going to be parked in front of it and blocking it. It's going to be, no matter what direction you're going to go in driving in, you're going to see this memorial. And I hope it catches some people's attention and especially younger people to say, hey, what is this all about? What does this mean? And then do their own homework and recognize what it's really all about.
Well, I applaud you for doing that. It's so needed. And, you know, that I think back, and as you can tell, when she come up to me, it was like, wow, you know, thank you for acknowledging us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess nobody had. And I don't know. But for the people out there, too, you made another interesting comment, and I want to pick up on it. I really, I think you were part of this in the legislature when you weren't working, when you were a politician. You loved driving back and forth to Boston. Don't kid me. Come on.
Yeah.
I did it for 3 years. I pulled my hair out. The I believe now civics is a mandatory class in our educational system.
It is, but, you know, there's so much pressure on our schools today and teachers. How do you squeeze one more thing into the curriculum when we're trying to get people to pass a test for MCAS graduations? I mean, I think the approach I would take is I would move U.S. history up, you know, a few more years or a couple of generations. I mean, when I was in high school 100 years ago, we barely got to World War II.
Yeah.
So
well, I went to Catholic school. We got handouts.
Okay, but we didn't hear about Korea or Vietnam or
Right.
the Watergate scandal or anything else. So I think we need to move it up a generation. I mean, shorten the time on the Revolutionary War, shorten the time on the Civil War, pay more attention and more time on in the last 100 years, not the last 300 years. And I think that could be a game changer. But it's always hard. We already put a lot of pressure on our school systems and our teachers to cram more stuff into a 6-hour day. It's hard to do that, but I think we need to collectively, as a society, educate the next generation on how we got to this point and who made those sacrifices for us to be able to do that.
That's an excellent point. I mean, it's like, you go to college, you take Western Civ. I could cut that down about 2 weeks. And we all learn from the past, but and I have to say this too. Teachers have a really rugged job today. It's really a different it's a different world for them. And what I see, and I know this is gonna, and this is oh, the views and opinions on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the people who are getting their lawnmowers picked up, like me, from RPM. But anyhow, when you the whole way we do things, the jobs today are changed. The plum jobs in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and to the mid-70s were teacher, police officer, firefighter, factory worker. And now, most police departments are running short. Most schools are struggling to get teachers certified. Fighters the same. And factories, well, hopefully the factories will be coming back. But when I drive by the grounds of GE, I think that wasn't just, those were all guys came back from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all got a job in the GE.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Bill, because many years ago, when I was a selectman in Lenox, the state came up with this program called Operation Recognition, and it would allow towns and school districts to award high school diplomas to people who didn't graduate high school and went off to war. So I identified three people from Lenox when I was a selectman to be worthy of that. Sadly, one of them had died years ago. I identified two others, and I talked to one guy. He jumped at the chance. He was Chucky Larette. He actually lied about his age, World War II, to get into the service. He was 16 years old, but he lied about his age. He was the youngest Marine from Massachusetts that left Lenox Public Schools and ended up a decorated soldier from the Battle of Saipan in World War II. He jumped at the chance to accept this award. He said, "It's the one thing that I've regretted my whole life is not having that high school diploma." Now, he died about 10 years after that, and I went to his wake, and in the casket was the diploma that he was given, and he appreciated it right to the day he died. The other gentleman, I called him up, and I won't tell you his name, but he said, "Well, let me think about it and call me next week." I said, "Okay, I can call him next week." He says, "I don't think so." He says, "You know what, Smitty? I had a very successful career at General Electric." He says, "I had 23 people working under me." He said, "I would be embarrassed to have them find out now that I never graduated high school. M maybe next year." Well, sadly, he died 6 months later. But that was the thought that I tried to tell him. I says, "This is exactly what this program is all about. These people that worked for you at General Electric need to understand that you can achieve great things by serving your country and doing other things. This is why we," he says, "I wasn't comfortable. He would have been embarrassed," he said. But sadly, he passed away. So we never were able to acknowledge that young man. But those are the stories that need to be shared and told. That, I mean, think about yourself, Bill. You were a young man when you went to Vietnam, but when I talked to Chucky Lorette at 16, I'm thinking, what was I doing at 16? You know,
Yeah.
we're chasing girls, we're playing sports, we're trying to find buy our brand new first car. You know, he was willing to drop out of school to go fight in
Yeah.
World War II, and you know, halfway around the world. I just it's something that people are sometimes willing to share those stories. Sometimes they're a little hesitant, like the other gentleman. But the stories need to be told, and I think it's the only way we're going to have a productive society going forward if we understand the history. You've heard me say this before, Bill.
Yeah.
In order to know where you're going, you need to know where you've been. And stories that you have and my buddy of 45 years has need to be shared before it's too late, because otherwise it's just another script in a history book that, you know, will be torn apart.
And I think too, with these Gold Star families, at this presentation, at this celebration, at this commemoration, Gold Star families should be the focal point where they're asked to say, what does this mean to you? Because I was thinking about that, honest to God, the other day after you and I chatted, I was thinking, what stories they could tell, what hurt they could release and say, finally, somebody's acknowledging my pain. And so what I would, and definitely I would encourage the people. Now I know in my case, Smitty's gone now. I got to go to Jay Green and get a passport to Lenox, but I
You're
got
always
to be
welcome at
gone by
Lenox.
3 o'clock. So, but Smitty was always good. He got me in, he got me out. So I always got a passport for big events. But seriously, I hope all of us, and I will, once the date's set, I will post it on my face. I'll announce it every day I'm on,
No,
because we have to show this kind, because it too often the price of war is never really understood by those who send us to war.
Well, you know, you mentioned, Bill, about, you know, lifting that pain off of their shoulders and their heart. My dad, he was up in Alaska, which was not a state at that time during World War II. And there was a lot of Japanese up in
Oh, yeah.
Alaska during World
Yeah.
War II that not a lot of people know about. But my uncle Bart was in the Battle of the Bulge in Europe. My uncle Pip, he was wounded in the Guadalcanal. So I think, you know, they kind of try to keep my dad stateside, but threw him up in Alaska at that time. But the point I'm trying to make is that when my sister Lisa and I brought him to the cemetery to see Smitty's grave, to watch him, it had snowed the night before, just to watch him walk through the fresh fallen snow, just to touch the headstone, it may sound corny, but I could see something get lifted off of his shoulders. He named his firstborn son after his best friend, but never talked about Smitty. When my father finally found we found his grave, I learned so much about Smitty in the next several years because that weight got lifted off of my shoulder, my father's shoulder. And I hope that that's what this memorial will do, that the Berkshires have come together to pay tribute to the families. And hopefully we'll be able to visualize that weight getting lifted off their shoulders at the dedication as well.
And I hope so too, because that's the cross that they all bear.
That's right.
That's and again it and I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 78, you can repeat yourself too. When they sit down at Christmas, at Easter, at a birthday, at a 4th of July picnic, there's always that empty chair. And I was with, and I won't mention the family. They lost one of the brothers, and I was friendly with the family. And as a kid, we with my father, and we'd go, and they always, and I'll never forget this, they always set that place. I don't care if it was at a picnic table, there was a place for him.
It never goes away. Going back to my names again, he was an only child. Sadly, the parents had gotten divorced. And as you know, so many military records were lost in that big fire in St. Louis many, many years ago. So it was hard to rebuild his military record legitimately, but it's just taken years to do that. But I came across, my dad passed away 6 years ago, and I'm still coming across note cards and holiday cards from Smitty's father that every single year he would send a holiday card to my parents. And after he heard that he named his firstborn son after Smitty, that was like 25, 30, 35 years later, he was still talking about Smitty, his son that he lost. And so let's just say that's what makes this whole thing special. And we don't really understand what they're going through. And hopefully this is just a tip of the cap to say thank you for what you've done and what you're going to be going through.
And we got to take a break. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk about a visiting Vietnam wall. That's going to be here. When Smitty comes back, to give you a heads up, he's going to give you again how to contribute to this monument. And I please think of the families as this Easter and this Passover season are here. Because, war was indiscriminate. It didn't care what your religion or your color or your race was. If you could stand to be killed. And just please stay tuned, and we'll give you that information as soon as we come back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are also simulcasting down there at 88.1 in Southern Berkshire. Smitty's arranged via through the FCC to let my program go into Southern Berkshire, and I appreciate that. We're also PC Channel 1301. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I really mean this sincerely. We've been friends a long time. And he's a person who's been in all my life that I've known him. And basically his whole family. Smitty Pignatelli is a giver. You know, my saintly Irish mother used to say, there's two types of people in the world, givers and takers. Willie boy, you be a giver. She also used to tell me, Willie, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and you're one of the lead pavers. The best one was this, and then we'll move on. Willie boy, God gave you two ears, one mouth. Think about it.
Yep.
So, but we have, Smitty, give how people can contribute to the Gold Star Monument.
So thank you very much. So you can make checks out to NPC. It's a nonprofit center of the Berkshires. There are 501c3 tax-deductible fiduciaries, so NPC Berkshire. We're asking you to put Gold Star in the memo, and you can mail it to me at P.O. Box 2228 in Lenox, 01240. And like I say, we're moving ahead. It's going to happen in September, and every last bit of dollars that we can raise is going to make it even more special. So P.O. Box 2228 in Lenox. Gold Star Family, NPC Berkshire.
How and please, folks. I you know what it was like? Was like when they did the restoration of the World War One monument on South Street.
Yeah.
Gregory Young, Colonel Gregory Young, and a lot of other Father Peter Gregory, a lot of other people headed it up. But people were sending in $5. If you can afford $5. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Please send it in. Please send it in. If you can afford it, please send it in.
Yeah.
And any amount will help.
Yeah. And what we're doing also, Bill, on the backside of this memorial, we're going to be engraving every organization or individual that has supported us. And whether it be $1 or $10,000, we're all going on equal footing. Yeah. And I think it's going to be something that people in the future will say, oh, Bill and Roseanne Sturgeon, oh, that was my grandfather, that was my uncle, yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's going to stand the test of time that you were committed to helping the soldiers and the families on this particular memorial. So every dollar makes a difference, and it's going to make it very, very special. I'm very excited and honored that this is coming together.
I when you first told me about it, I got excited because I thought back on that lady. For those that are just joining, I did few years back, I did the memorial address at Wakona Park on Memorial Day. And at the end, this elderly lady come up and hugged me and thanked me for remembering them.
Yeah.
Gold Star families. And it's just, I got to say this. I don't want to get you in trouble, but there's so much malarkey in the world going on right now. That's Irish term for another two words. Think about them. This is refreshing to me. This is what makes me want to get up and do more because we got to remember these people.
Yeah.
You know, I remember them more than I should probably, but they gave it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be willing to? And that's a, we'll move on now. Now, here, another tribute. And before we get into it, I have to take my hat off. I had a hat on. If I did, I would take it off for you. For the Dalton American Legion, who had the traveling wall there a couple years back.
Yep.
And I want to tell you, they did a magnificent job. A magnificent job. And the veterans that I saw there, that I know, or the families of veterans that I know who have left us, because Agent Orange is Schmitty can recant that for this half hour. We're leaving a lot faster than the others did.
Yeah.
I read just the other day, and I don't know if it's still valid today because they changed it. We're dying at 350 a day.
Wow.
So I Googled that. And the Vietnam wall's coming. I had the good fortune, and I think take my hat off, I had an honor flight to the late Dick Carrick. Wonderful guy. Dick arranged for me to go. My son Patrick brought me with me to the wall. I've been to the wall several times. Maybe it's my old age. It probably is my old age. But I got really emotional this time. So the visiting wall is coming here. Whether you were in Vietnam, you knew anybody that wasn't, it doesn't make any, you need to go to see this because those names, they were people and they're not with us anymore.
Yep. Well, the, many years before that, Bill, you remember it came to Berkshire Community College.
Yeah.
I remember going to visit that, but it was a few years ago up in Dalton. that I went to it and I struck up a conversation with the head guy from the traveling wall.
Yeah.
And I said, what does it take to bring this thing? He told me how much money you have to raise and what we have to do. And I says, can I get on a list? And because they travel all over.
Yeah,
the country.
All over. Yeah.
So I submitted my name to get on the list. And he actually called me last November and said, we have an opening of July 10th to 14th of 2025. Do you want it? I said, absolutely. Sign me up. So I sent in our deposit. We've raised some money to bring that here. So July 10th to July 14th, the traveling wall will be at the War Memorial Baseball Field in Lenox, Massachusetts. And I'm actually working with some students at McCann Tech in Adams to do a little bit of research on the 27 soldiers from Berkshire County that died, to have them on. We'll have like a poster board display as we enter this memorial. I've asked, and I'll say it publicly now, Bill, I would love to have you come and say a few words. I think it would be very appropriate to have an opening ceremony and possibly a closing ceremony. The Legion Riders have reached out to me.
Right.
The motorcycle group that we're meeting with the sheriff tomorrow about a police escort once they enter the Berkshires. The Legion Riders will be part of this as well. So I've been to that the Vietnam Wall in D.C. on many occasions myself. Oh. It's overwhelming. What amazes me the most, I think, is as you get closer to that wall, the noise of the city disappears.
It does.
And it's incredible. The Vietnam vets or their families that go there just to touch the wall or to put charcoal engraving on a piece of paper of their family member.
Yep.
I'm also, disappointed, but understanding of, the number of Vietnam veterans, combat veterans, especially that I've talked to that have not been to DC to see that wall or are afraid to because they see their friends there. So we're bringing the wall to them. And I think that's what's so important.
Yeah.
This is another way to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. This is not going by unnoticed here in Berkshire County again.
And there is a special in D.C., and I would say definitely go visit the traveling wall. But if you ever have an opportunity,
yeah,
here's what I would tell you. I walked up, and because it's the nurses that are there at the Vietnam Wall, they have a tribute. They have three people and a sculpture of three GIs. And then they have the nurses. And then close by, they have the Korean War Monument,
yep,
Memorial. Well, I want to tell you, Smitty, I was used to be work down there. Well, I was with the working government. But anyhow. I went there on a misty October, cold, misty night, right after it first opened. And I will tell you, that was the most eeriest thing. I got chilled.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to go to D.C., go ahead. And if you get down there, definitely go to the Tomb of the Unknown, because that is a service that if you see it, you will never forget it.
You know, what's interesting, Bill, is I've been to Washington many, many times, and I go to visit all of the memorials during the daylight.
Yeah.
And then I make it a point to go back and visit the same memorials at night.
Exactly.
It's an amazing, different feeling. Not one's not better than the other, but it's a different feeling with the lighting and the quietness of the nighttime. It's a powerful thing. And this Vietnam Wall is amazing. The World War II, I've been there many times. They all have a very powerful message,
yeah,
in a very quiet way. And this wall, pretty simple when you think about it, but you see the names and you can go through a book that's off to the side that tells you, okay, where's right. Billy Coley from Lenox? Oh, he's on panel number 9, row number, yep, or line number 12, whatever it is. But they also have the ages, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, these are kids that we said earlier are forever young, who will never get married. They'll never walk their daughters down the aisle. They'll never see a grandchild. They are forever frozen in time, but the family's there again. But this traveling wall coming to the Berkshires, I would love to see if we could do this every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I got to give a personal shout out to Wayne Walton from LP Adams. He was instrumental in getting it established in Dalton, getting it all lined up, getting it landscaped, and doing something. Wow. So when he heard that we were doing this, coming back to the Berkshires, he was the very first person to call me and said, "I will take care of the setup." He didn't even ask questions. "I will take care of the setup." So it's just the county coming together for this, I think, is really very special as well. In fact, I had a call this morning, Bill, before the show, from folks that worked at BCC years ago when it came to BCC, and they read every single name at BCC. And, and the lady goes, "I can get some volunteers. We'll do it again here in the Berkshires." So, as you know, that's what, 55,000 people, young men and women. To have those names read could be a very powerful message in its own right. She says, we were reading those names when nobody was there.
Yeah.
But the point was, we're going to acknowledge every one of these soldiers that died.
And isn't that, of course, you know, I'm a graduate. They're not proud of it, but I am a graduate of BCC. They've asked me, please don't keep saying that. But they were in the midst of it, buddy. My whole class, not whole class, I take that back. There was like 8 of us, all Vietnam veterans. That went through the criminal justice program. And probably a little secret out of jail here. On Fridays, there was at the bottom parking lot, there was a special fraternity. The college didn't acknowledge it, but it was called TKB. And we would meet there. And basically what it stood for was tap a keg of beer. And so it all... sometimes just chat for 5-10 minutes and go our separate ways. But BCC, and this is an important, I have to share this. BCC welcomed us. So if you're a veteran out there of these other wars since Vietnam, BCC will welcome you because they welcomed us. And I'm not going to say the other college that we, 3 of us tried, when we were hauled out into the hallway and asked if we would change our section in English comp because the professor did not believe in the war.
Wow. Wow.
So we said, yeah, we'll change. Went to BCC. So there you go. But BCC is a wonderful institution.
Well, you know, you don't have to believe in the war to honor the people that served. You know, if you think about it, Bill, I mean, you know, predates us, but America was very complacent prior to World War II. They had no desire to get into a war until Pearl Harbor got attacked. That changed the whole dynamic of America's involvement in World War II. The majority of Americans did not want to be anything to do with the war, probably because of World War I.
Yeah.
So, but when Pearl Harbor was attacked, that changed the dynamics dramatically under Franklin Roosevelt, and the rest is history. But so you don't have to support a war or like a war. Nobody likes war.
Nobody likes war.
But you need to support the people who are willing to serve to help us and defend our freedoms.
And you know, through your years of service, and I don't want to embarrass you or get you mad at me or whatever comes first, because I'll call you younger brother because he can beat you up now. You have always, in your political life, you have always thought of the veterans. Always. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe it's your namesake. But, you know, I can remember a 4th of July, there was this family that lived on Wakona Street. He served in World War II on the Intrepid. And he had a bathtub in the backyard, and every 4th of July we would go to the parade, but he would be out at 7 o'clock in the morning putting the beer in a certain way. Because we said, well, we'll help. He said, you don't know how to do it. You put it, and he packed up. But anyway, long story short, he made a comment one time. He said, you know, I go to the parade. I march in the parade. He was a firefighter. And he said, I do it for the guys that didn't come home.
Right.
And that seed has stayed with me, and the seed your dad planted has stayed with you. And, you know, it's not big things. I don't have a gazillion dollars, but I'd rather put it towards that.
Yeah.
Than some frivolous thing. And I say this, folks, because we want you at the wall. The dates, July 10th through the 14th, put them in your calendar now.
Yep.
It's going to be in Lenox. And for those who didn't come home, do it. And for those who come home and have left us, do it for them too.
That's right. Yep.
They're not on any wall, but you know what? Most of us are dying from what happened to us over there and what we were exposed to. So, I mean, Smitty, we got to get, and you said it right, and I will, whatever I can do, back you 100%. We need to shrink down the 300-year-old stuff and blow up the 100-year-old stuff.
Yeah. I was in Boston a few weeks ago and went to a something at UMass Boston, and there was a panel of students, probably 6 or 8 students, making a presentation. And then they opened it up for questions and answers from the audience. And one of the questions came up asking the students, where do you get your news? Now, you and I grew up watching ABC, CBS, NBC, yeah, reading the Berkshire Eagle, the Boston Globe, the New York Times, whatever it may have been.
Yeah.
Now with social media, it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Every single student on this panel answered, where do you get your news? TikTok. And that disappointed me so much. Me that too. You're getting your news from a video that might be 60 seconds long. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not on TikTok, but I follow TikTok, and there's some substantive stuff on there, depending on who you follow. Yeah. But if that's your mainstream medium source of information, yeah, it's very alarming to me. So are you watching local public access TV? Are you reading the local newspaper? Are you listening to local radio? I think the tides are shifting away from that, and I find that to be very disappointing. Yeah. Public PCTV, incredible things that these public access, yeah, channels do to inform the citizenry of, yeah, maybe not the sexiest topics in the world, but things are going on in your own backyard. I'm a big believer that there's too many people that want to solve the world's problems when you can make a difference in your own neighborhood. And if we spent more time on our own neighborhood, but you need to understand what's going on in your neighborhood, but not by watching TikTok. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll be criticized for that comment from some folks who are listening, but we have to do a better job letting younger people be better informed of history, yep, present, and of a vision for the future.
Well, and the other piece of that too is, remember, you're watching TikTok and you're telling them all about you. So there you go, our adversaries.
Yeah.
There's a book, and I know you don't have a lot of time to read it, but if you can get a synopsis of it, and your sisters, because they were in education, mom was, it's called Anxious Generation. It'll frighten you. And I was just in the Big Y the other day shopping, and every kiddo that was in a carriage had a cell phone in their hand.
Yeah, yeah. They have dumbed us down with these things right here, you know.
Yeah.
I've told you the story before, Bill. There was, you know, I have 5 siblings. We all sat around the dinner table for,
yeah,
dinner time.
Us too.
And I remember it so clearly. In the late 60s, I was like 9, 10 years old. My dad would say, what do you think about the situation in Southeast Asia? And I'm thinking, I'm 10 years old. Where the heck is Southeast Asia? But I knew that my mom or dad were going to ask me again the next day, the next dinner, or the next week. Right. So I had to do my homework. So I pulled out the World Book Encyclopedia and did a little bit of homework in that regard.
Oh, remember those? Yep.
But, you know, families aren't structured like that as much anymore, sadly. You know, people are divorced, it's single parent households. Maybe mom or dad are working a double shift to make ends meet. Times are different, and that's why there's so much pressure on our public schools to educate and inform our students. We need to move it up a couple of generations and make it more reflective of what's really going on in the world today and have some intellectual dialogue. Let's debate the issues instead of just reading about what happened 200 years ago. Let's talk about what happened 20 years ago, which got us to the point we're at today.
Well, I will tell you, too. I will send it to you. It airs tomorrow morning. I will send it to an interview I did. The Pittsfield school system brought this expert on how to restructure your strategic plans for teaching to accommodate AI.
Yep.
Smitty, I've watched his presentation at the school committee. I'll try to get that for you, too. I've watched that three times. I've read the plan. The world is changing right before us. Yeah. And I will leave you with this because I know you're not old enough to remember. I was a high school student when John Kennedy got sworn in. Mm. And he said several wonderful things. But the torch has been passed to a new generation. Well, folks, grab onto it because I think it's happening now. And I worry about some of the people in this generation. And the other thing he said, ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do. That's very well known. But here's the one I think I want to put out to the political world. It isn't should be a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. Is it the right thing? Okay. And boy, that's where we need to go. Smitty, as always, you are one of the very best. You've given and given. If you don't think Smitty is given, drive to Boston. That should be enough to sour you on going to Boston for the next 30 years till they find out, put in some fast rail or something. When I first started going to Boston to the doctors down there, it was a 3-hour ride. Mm. Well, the last time I went, it was darn near a 5-hour ride. Yeah. So I applaud everything you've done for so many and for so many years, your whole family. Oh. And, you know, I'll leave everybody with this. Prime Minister Netanyahu come out to the people that were protesting and they from the river to the sea. And he asked them, and to reinforce Smitty's point, what river, what sea? Most of them couldn't answer it.
Right.
So
right.
It was a chance.
Yeah. Well, I'm blessed to have you as a friend, Bill, and I'm honored to be on your show anytime. This is going to be an exciting year to recognize veterans in Berkshire County. 2025.
I'm only going to be doing Mondays and Tuesdays, but we'll schedule it so that it comes before the wall comes.
That'd be great.
Or when we're exactly sure of the dedication date. You'll be back.
For sure.
Okay. To everyone, and I know this upsets some of you, God bless. And it's time of the year, Easter and Passover for so many people. Embrace your faith. And remember, lift somebody's burden today. Make somebody laugh. Mm-hmm. The world is so grumpy. I had a grandmother flip me the bird not long ago, trying to pull out of a street because she went through a red light. And remember, we're all in this together. We need to help each other. Yeah. Kindness costs nothing. Smitty, say hi to everybody in the family and tell them we'll be there for Easter dinner.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. God bless us, buddy. Talk to you soon.
My best to the princess.
You bet. Thanks, Smitty.